If you've got a Bible there, we're going to read one or two scriptures in a moment. Not yet. I think we're going to start with a quote on the screen. I want to read this quote, and then I want you to guess who said it. So it says this: "My job is to help everyone else believe they could do things that they didn't think they were capable of. To chart a course that had not been pursued before. To make everyone understand that the impossible was possible." So who do you think said that? You're not going to answer. You're not going to answer just now. Somebody else. Any idea who said that? I wish I'd said that. You know, it's good. I like it. I wish I'd said that. It wasn't me. Anybody want to take a guess who said that? Mark Wogerman's very close. Just go up in class a long, long, long way. You know, it sounds like a Christopher Lawton or Bill Jones, a Christian person, but it was actually, Mike, do you know? Sir Alex Ferguson. Those are the words of Sir Alex Ferguson, former manager of Manchester United. But yet, it sounds kind of godly, doesn't it? And I love this last bit, I love all three bits, but particularly to make everyone understand that the impossible was possible. Jesus had that on his agenda too, didn't he? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. To the one who believes, everything is possible. To the one who believes, everything is possible. As we just move on to the next slide, I just kind of thought this morning, I know we're not being through any series or anything, and kind of the heart of what we're doing is just to bring, you know, what's your kind of key message? So this is what I want to say to you here in White Inch. This is what I want to say to the body of Christ all over this nation and the nations, is that everything is possible to the one who believes. And that there's always more. You should never get bored as a Christian. Boredom and the kingdom of God, they just don't go together. Because there's always something more. There's always some other dynamic, something more of an adventure, something more exciting yet to come. The prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, one of the things we've been doing in intercession with the church is just praying the prayers of the New Testament because they're powerful and God says yes to them. And so Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees." This is Ephesians 3:14 if you want to follow it in the Bible, but it might come up, I have no idea. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." God wants to do that in you right now. Every day he wants to strengthen your inner being with might. But you've got to ask for it and believe for it. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." The height, the width, the length, and depth, they're immeasurable. There's always more that God has for us. 32 people coming to faith. That's awesome. Go out and find the other 18. Let's go out and find the other 18. But let's go for the more and more, because there's always more. And it is the day of harvest, as Nicholas Bracelet says. God's heart is for a harvest, or else Jesus would never have said to his disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field," if his intention wasn't for a harvest. So it's got to come. Now, the enemy, which we'll see in the next slide, the enemy seeks to overwhelm us so that we give up or stop short. I love when God brings things together, and Nicola quoted that verse from Galatians 6:9, that there is a harvest for us as long as we do not give up. And so the enemy seeks to barrage the church in different ways, with bad news, with discouragements, with many things, in order to cause us either to give up or to stop short. Has anybody ever felt like giving up? When I pastored the church in Castlemilk, at least once a month, I felt like giving up. Fortunately, I had a wife who was a little bit wiser, more spiritual than me, and she would kind of bring me around. The enemy wants to get us to give up, or he wants us to stop short. You see, God wants to bring a harvest, but the harvest requires an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit pours out, he brings gifts, he brings anointings, he brings dynamics and power that are beyond us and sometimes look crazy and messy. I prefer church when it's a little bit crazy and messy than when it's dull. Anybody else agree with me on that one? But the thing is, some people get disappointed and they draw back, they stop short. I've seen a tendency of that, particularly among some church leaders in these days, to kind of step back a little bit and let's just settle for something else because we've been a little bit disappointed that we haven't seen a greater fulfillment of what we'd expected. That is listening to the voice of the enemy. That is listening to the voice of the enemy. The enemy seeks to overwhelm us so we give up or stop short. But God is preparing us for seeming impossibilities. For that which seems impossible, that which seems beyond us, well, that which seems ridiculous, God is preparing us towards that. Disappointment is something that hangs over many people. And, you know, we've all had disappointments in life. Most of my disappointments have been with me. Not in other people. Most of my disappointments have been with me. We really have to get over ourselves. I read a little quote the other day. An extra beatitude, an extra blessed are those. Blessed are those who can laugh at themselves. They shall never cease to be entertained. So it's good not to take ourselves too seriously. It's good to be able to laugh at ourselves because it lets some of those disappointments, some of those things just drop off us a little bit. And then just allows Christ to work in us. Two different fathers approach Jesus in the Gospels. One desperate for his son who was oppressed by a spirit that caused him to regularly have fits and fall into fire and water. Another whose little 12-year-old girl was dying and in fact died. And to those two men, Jesus says these words. To one, he says, all things are possible to him who believes. To the other, he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. It's really simple. I kind of think the more we kind of go on in the Lord, we realize that it's all really simple. I think we start off simple and we begin to complicate it. And then hopefully we get over that and we come back to just simple. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And I want to speak a little bit this morning just about covenant and how that relates to prayer. And so we see this line here. And I want you to really take this in. Covenant love drives out fear so we can operate in faith. And I think that's God just wanting to do that with us until he really gets hold of us, really gets that through to us. Covenant love. Now, in the New Testament, there's different words for love. The word agape was a word used particularly for to describe the love of God. That is the covenant love that the Old Testament speaks of. Some translations translate it loving kindness. The New King James, which I generally like, is really weak and translates it mercy, which I just think is not good enough. It's the covenant love of God where he has bound himself to us. And we are to be bound to him. The covenant love of God drives out fear. The fear of failure. The fear of rejection. The fear of just messing up. The fear of what people think of us. You know, we can list loads of fears because at the root of sin is fear. And fear comes in there in the back of sin. And so all of us have been hampered in our lives by one fear or another. And this covenant love is just driving out where God says, I am for you, never against you. I am with you in everything. And he needs to drive out fear so we can operate in faith. Do not be afraid, only believe. And as God prepares us for these seeming impossibilities, you know, there's a bit of stripping and refining going on. Has anybody felt the kind of feelings that that brings? Has anybody felt the kind of weight of that in recent times? A bit of a stripping away. Strips away what we knew, relied on, brings us to a place where we can only trust him. A refining of us. God brings us through these fires at times. But if we keep our eyes on him, he'll use these things greatly. And so, as we just think about this in terms of prayer this morning, effective prayer, what is effective prayer? And I want us to think of it just at one angle. There's many sides to prayer, but one angle of prayer. will come up in the next slide, is a laying claim to and a taking hold of what God has promised in this covenant relationship that he's called us into. So in covenant relationship, the Lord lays claim on our lives. And we therefore, or in turn, can lay claim on all his promises. So understand, when we came to Christ, we entered a covenant relationship with God. He did all the necessary things to form the covenant through Christ. Nothing that we added to that, nothing that we did that made that happen. Our own response to that can be one of faith, believing in what he's done for us. He's created a covenant, and in the covenant, he commits himself fully to us. And he calls us to commit ourselves fully to him. Now, in a covenant relationship, the two parties have rights to one another. And God wants to lay claim upon your whole life. And we've sung songs this morning about, like, surrender. Surrendering all the time. We sing that sort of stuff. But we've got to think through, what does it really mean? What does it mean in our life? What does it look like? Why is God calling us to surrender everything to him? You see, when he has full claim on your life, you are able to fully claim all the promises that he has for you. But where we dispute, as it says there, where we dispute his claims to our life, where we hold anything back from him, then that delays his purposes and promises being fulfilled in us. So when God lays claim to your life, he's not like being mean. He's not like saying, I want it all. He's saying, give me everything because I will make so much better of it than you ever could. And he wants to get us to the place where we delight in giving everything to him because we see that it's so much better for us and everybody else. It's what we see running through the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. I am his and he is mine. Where we give ourselves completely to him. And then we possess everything that he has for us. And in this relationship, we begin to possess what has been promised. And we come to the prayer or the claim of faith. But to be able to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to look at it in James in a second, or to claim the things God has promised, we've got to know what he's promised to us. The only way you're going to know that is through his word. The only way that faith grows in you, faith comes by one way. Faith comes by the hearing of the word of Christ. So if you don't read his word, if you don't get into the word of God, you're not going to get hold of the faith. You're not going to get hold of the promises God has for you. So we need to immerse ourselves into his word. Get the word that is, what the Bible calls it, an implanted seed into us. So the Holy Spirit waters it and it grows. So let's look at James chapter 5. You got your Bible there, turn to James 5. I'm just going to start down at verse 15. It's kind of in the middle of a section, but that's okay. Verse 15. James says, and the prayer of faith. See, sometimes we pray lots of different prayers. Sometimes we pray the prayer of fear. Sometimes we pray prayer of presumption. Lots of different prayers we can pray. And, you know, God in his mercy sometimes just gives us a little answer to some of those things. But he's really wanting to train us to where we pray the prayer of faith that breaks down obstacles and releases the possibilities of the kingdom of God into everything. And the prayer of faith, it says, will save the sick. Now, it's talking a little bit about healing within the church, but I believe we can just take that so much wider and say our sick world can be saved through us praying the prayers of faith. The prayer of faith is so far-reaching. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So it says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or accomplishes much. And he goes on and says, Elijah, the great prophet, Elijah, how's he doing up there? Sound asleep? Good man. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit, its harvest. And James is saying to us, you know, Elijah was a great prophet. He was the prophet. And yet he was a man just like us, a person just like us. So he says, if his prayers could shut up the heavens and open the heavens, so can yours. As we understand the relationship we're in with the Lord and move in this prayer of faith, we can shut up the operations of darkness and release the power of the heavens upon the earth. Listen carefully to this next thing. It's not going to be on the screen. Don't misunderstand me, because I believe very much in our prayers. But we don't move God by our prayers. We don't move God by our prayers. God is not sitting, waiting in a reluctant manner. And eventually enough of us pray hard enough here on earth that he goes, oh, goodness, I'm going to have to do something about this. God is an awful lot more willing than we are. We do not move God by our prayers, but God moves as we exercise faith. It's not our hard work of prayer that will get God to move, but simply exercising faith. And so the fervency that it talks about in Elijah's prayer, or the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, the fervency of prayer is a fervency born of faith, not of flesh. It's a fervency that comes when the word of God gets into us, the promises of God that produce a faith in us that stir us. But sometimes we just need to let ourselves be stirred. Sometimes we just need to let a little bit of emotion and exuberance come out of ourselves when God grips us with something. And could I just say here in White Inch, I think we need to let a little bit more of that out than holding it in. I think we're just a little bit too reserved here, and we need to just let it loose a little bit and not care less what anybody else thinks. A little bit of fervency. Effective praying. But the word to pray, there's different words used for prayer in the New Testament. The word to pray here is a word that has the sense of to claim. So prayer isn't asking for something that, you know, just maybe God might change his mind and give us that. No, this type of prayer is laying claim to something God says you're entitled to. So a year and a half ago, when my father died, I came into a little bit of inheritance along with my brother, and I didn't go to the lawyer and say, oh, please, will you give me this money now because I need to buy a house? Will you please? And try and twist his arm to give me the money. I had a claim. I had the right of inheritance. And if he withheld that, you know what? I was going to go get him because it was mine. And we've got to know what's ours in the Lord, what's the inheritance that he's giving to us, and lay claim to it. We pray, that's our final slide coming up. We pray from a position of inheriting together. Because prayer isn't just an individual thing for you, for your life, although there is that. But together as a church, what does God have for us? What are his promises from his word? What has the Holy Spirit said prophetically to this church? Then let's lay hold of it together. Let's pray from a position of inheriting together out of this covenant relationship that is secured and eternal in Christ Jesus. And as the last line says there, when we die to a life outside of covenant relationship. You see, that's the old life. That's just another way of expressing the old life. You know, the Bible says to us to die to the old. And some folk just don't seem to like that dying business. But what you're dying to is a life that is outside of covenant relationship. Who wants to live outside of a covenant relationship with God? Anybody want to live there? Not me. I like having his righteousness over my life. I like having his protection, his provision, his peace, his healing, and all the other things he gives to me. I want to live fully in this covenant relationship. But sometimes in our minds, in our memories, and the old just hangs on there, and we just hold back. We live that little bit still in rebellion or still in something. And you're only harming yourself. When we die to the life outside of covenant relationship, then we become fully alive in this relationship in Christ. I've always thought the kind of saddest people in the world are Christians who are half for God and half not. who are saying I'm following the Lord, but they kind of keep a foot back in the old life. I think they're the most miserable of people on earth because they're neither one thing nor the other. If any part of your life is being lived in a manner outside of the covenant relationship, let it die so you might be fully alive in Christ Jesus. In faith, we lay claim to and take hold of what he has made available. In faith, we move into kingdom possibilities. We live a new life at a new level. Let me just ask you this morning, have some of you things been overwhelming you? Just like an overwhelming, and you've just felt like giving up. You just felt like stopping short. Read a little bit about Corrie ten Boom, who was in the Nazi concentration camp, wonderful Christian woman. Just learned to so trust God in that place and to forgive those who were so evil and wicked towards her and her family. You know, she got out of the concentration camp because of a clerical error. She wasn't supposed to be released, but she did. And she said this, God doesn't have problems, only plans. So anything you're up against, don't look at it as the problem, but just say, Lord, what's your plan in this? If you felt things begin to overwhelm you, just say, Lord, what's your plan in this? And let's begin to move into everything becoming possible. Let's give him full claim of our lives so that we can lay claim to all his promises and purposes for us. Why don't we stand together? Father, we thank you that there is no fear in love, but your perfect, your covenant love drives out all fear. Father, I pray for us as a people that we would be a people who do not partner with the fears of this world, but we're free to operate fully in the faith that you bestow upon us. Father, I pray you'd imprint into our hearts the truth that everything is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. That you'd take us to the place of abundantly more, the place of excess in the Spirit of God. The place beyond what the natural mind reasons and thinks. Take us into the greater realms and dimensions of your Spirit's operations and what you want to bring forth in this place, in this city, in this land, in these days. So, Father, I pray you just stir a faith afresh. Stir an effective fervency into our hearts and spirits. To take hold, to lay claim, to boldly approach your throne and lay claim to what you've promised us. Father, put that spirit within us in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord just keep releasing his anointing upon you this day. Through this week, may he release an increase of his anointing upon your life into each and every situation. May everywhere you go, you just be aware of the plans of the Lord in this situation, for this person's life, for your life. So just release that anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.